And there are people here today, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus, and you are living in the daily assurance of the forgiveness of sins. That's the greatest thing that we can enjoy in this life. Now, all of this is possible because of the cross and because of the work and the utterances of our Lord upon that cross as he died, as he prayed, even this very first utterance, this first word, think about it, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, pastor of our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, British Columbia, and I welcome you to the program today. Our message is, Father, forgive them. This is one of the seven sayings of our Savior upon the cross, as he cried out to the Father for mercy for those who crucified him upon that Roman cross. What a Savior we have. His mercies are unending and unfailing. Even in his hour of suffering, he prayed for his enemies that the Father would forgive them. And that prayer was mightily answered, because at Pentecost, those who cried out, crucified him, were converted, and they were brought to the place of repentance by the power of the gospel. That's the only way to be saved. It's the only way for the work of the cross to do its work in you, is when you see what horrible thing sin is and what it cost the Son of God to purchase our redemption. Then we cry out for mercy. And the Lord Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Our hymn today is Al Smith singing, This Love Is Mine. Firstly, we begin with our Q&A, our question and answer. What is God's purpose in preaching? Throughout this month of January, we have dealt with the Bible. We have dealt with Bible study, Bible reading, and sermon hearing. Now we need to answer this question, what is God's purpose in preaching? Well, the sermon is God's way of keeping us building our lives on the Scriptures. The preacher is to make the Bible passage bear upon the hearts of the hearer. So in a living manner, the Bible is kept alive, and the voice of God is heard through the preached word. Sola Scriptura would not mean much if the Bible was left to private reading. This is the difference in mere private reading and the preached word. Martin Luther believed that this word must be proclaimed from the housetops, and this word is God's way of gathering together and bringing a people out of the world to be his church on earth, a separated people who love the truth. The sermon is God's way to keep us worshiping in the truth. In John 4, verse 24, we are told that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth, and truth must be our watchword for worship. Apart from the Bible, how would you keep worship focused on truth? You cannot add man's own imagination. You cannot come with a fanfare of human creativity. To worship God with man's imagination is to fall into idolatry immediately. How else then can this be done without the proclamation of the Bible? Any church service that does not include Bible reading and preaching is in danger of being turned into entertainment or man's use. At Herod's temple, it was turned into a place of merchandise and thievery. And so our amens in worship are to express our agreements with what God has stated in his word. Our hallelujahs in worship are to extol God in his works and his power on behalf of his redeemed. One thing that God is looking for from the lips of his people in worship is truth. Truth and nothing but the truth. Without truth, the sounds and sights of worship are a grief to a holy God. The sermon is God's way also for us to have a personal encounter with Christ. In the days of our Lord, the people knew the Son of God through his preaching. Until he took up his ministry of preaching, his own brethren were ignorant of his life and glory as the second person of the Trinity. But Jesus had to declare that he was the Son of God. He had to declare those I am statements. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine. That knowledge of Christ, which drew many to know, trust, and love him, came through preaching. And the New Testament apostles were sent forth to preach Christ. Thousands were converted by coming into the realization and first-hand experience of the living Son of God. And that's what our preaching must do. That's what God's Word must work in the heart of everyone who come to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. I trust that will be true today here on this radio broadcast, that it will be true in our church services. Now we're going to our message, and we trust that you'll stay tuned, join with us as we hear this prayer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Right, we're turning to Luke 23 and to this text at verse 34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, we're coming up to the Easter period, another opportunity to preach the cross. As if a gospel preacher needs an excuse to preach the cross. But it is a time of year when I think all our expectations, our thoughts are focusing upon our Redeemer, upon that tree. Our text today is the first of seven words from the cross that our Lord Jesus expressed in those dying hours. How shall we learn of this greatest event? Shall we look at the root, or shall we look at the fruit? The root, of course, is that God planned the cross and sent his Son. The fruit is that the worst of sinners, even Jerusalem sinners, can be converted. You'll have to agree that the worst of men were those that cried out, crucify him, and attended the death of the Lord Jesus, and even these Roman soldiers who nailed him to the cross, that they could be saved. Because here is the Lord Jesus making this prayer, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There are souls in hell right now who are bearing the sins of nailing the Son of God to the cross. There are those that can never be saved, and for all eternity they will be in that place of torment. They are guilty of the blood of the Lord Jesus, and they're lost. There are those in this meeting right now who are in danger of losing their souls, in danger of being like Jerusalem sinners, having all the privileges of knowing Christ, and yet refusing, rejecting, and losing God's great salvation. There are those in this meeting here today who ought to be jumping up and down for joy, because there is no greater blessing than to have your sins forgiven. That is the greatest thing on earth, to know that your sins are forgiven. Your total, altogether sins. Sins of the past, the present, and the future. That they are all under the blood of the Lord Jesus and forgiven. After all, the Lord Jesus would not pray this prayer, Father, forgive them, if that forgiveness was not a reality. And there are people here today, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus, and you are living in the daily assurance of the forgiveness of sins. That's the greatest thing that we can enjoy in this life. Now, all of this is possible because of the cross and because of the work and the utterances of our Lord upon that cross as he died, as he prayed, even this very first utterance, this first word, think about it, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, I've pointed out already that this is the ministry of our Lord Jesus, of prayer. He did everything by prayer, and even his atoning work on the cross, he offered by prayer. And do you know that the prayers of the Lord Jesus are always answered? Our Lord Jesus stood at the grave of Lazarus and said, "Thank you, Father, that you hear me always." They're always answered. Was this prayer answered? Well, when we get to Acts 2, and we read about Peter's first sermon, and the amazing result, there were undoubtedly Jerusalem sinners of all kinds who were converted, who were guilty. Peter preached to them. They were guilty of the blood of Jesus. They had the blood of Jesus on their hands. And they said, "What shall we do?" And he pointed out they needed to repent, believe the gospel, be baptized, and they became Christians. So just think about it. We're reading here in Luke 23 of this awful sight of the Son of God being nailed to the cross, and yet those very perpetrators, they're in heaven. They're in glory. Their sins forgiven. They have the gift of eternal life. Now, this death of the Lord Jesus can be looked at in four ways. It was natural in the sense that he had a real body. It was real blood, and it was real suffering. This is not imaginative. This is not otherworldly. This is the reality of a man paying the consequences of sin, suffering death on that cross. A real man going through the real agony of the Savior's sufferings on that cross. And we have to be aware of that, and I trust it will sink into our hearts what it cost the man, Christ Jesus, to be nailed and crucified, to give up his life upon that cruel Roman gibbet. Another way of looking at it is that it was unnatural, because our Lord Jesus should never have been there. He was totally the innocent one. He was the innocent victim. And as you read through these Gospels, you'll find that Pilate, Herod, the dying thief, they all gave witness. This man hath done nothing amiss. He had done nothing wrong. And yet he was sent to the cross unnaturally, against proper justice, against every other reason. But out of the prejudice, the bitterness, the hatred of men, he was nailed to that cross. Another way of looking at the cross is that it was eternal. What we see here in the fullness of time was really in the mind of God from all eternity. And every Old Testament believer that truly believed the gospel looked to the day of Christ. Abram saw Christ's day. He looked to the cross. Every Old Testament believer who used the blood of animal sacrifices knew that there was a Messiah that was pictured in those sacrifices. And so this was no mere human drama, but it was the eternal plan of God fulfilled. And God's predetermined will was being carried out when our Lord Jesus was being nailed to that cross. Now, important for us to know that Calvary was no mistake. It was no plan B. It was the eternal wisdom and counsel of God as he desired and willed our salvation. The other way of looking at the cross is that it was supernatural. He laid down his own life. No man took it from him. It was a supernatural death. Do you remember how Joseph of Arimathea, he went to beg of Pilate the body of Jesus? Well, Pilate, he was surprised. How come you come so soon? And he sent off a soldier to find out it was true that Jesus was already dead. And do you remember how they went to the cross to break the legs of the men on the cross, and our Lord Jesus was already dead? They pierced his side with a spear, and out flowed blood and water. Death had already taken place. It was a supernatural death. He laid it down of himself. He proclaimed on that cross that it was finished. It's another one of the seven sayings of our Savior on that tree. It is finished. What was finished? Atonement, eternal redemption, salvation for you and me. Because this was a supernatural work. And in that short period of time, from he was nailed to that cross until he cried out to his Father, "It is finished," atonement was completed for every one of his people, for all who would ever call upon him for eternal salvation. Atonement was completed. It was a supernatural work because he was God. Thank you.
may sound the depths of all the mighty oceans. We may tell the distance to the farthest star. But the mighty love of God cannot be measured. Its dimensions are so high, so deep, so far. This love is mine, I cannot comprehend it. This love revealed in Christ my Lord divine. When on the tree he died for me, God's wondrous, glorious, mighty love, this love is mine. I behold his love in every golden sunset. I can see it in the beauty of a flower, and I feel it in my heart since Jesus touched me and redeemed me by his wonder-working power. And someday I'll thank him face to face in glory.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us on our program today. May the Lord bless you richly. We want to be of some personal help, and we offer our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazines and other literature free of charge. If you need a Bible, a word of advice, or have a prayer request, we look forward to hearing from you. We invite you to join us for each program and to join in our weekly services by webcast. You can go to our website for all the information, www.letthebiblespeak.ca. Stay tuned with us through the broadcast and we'll give you further information on the local church who sponsors these broadcasts. Our burden truly is to let the Bible speak. Our prayer is that God will speak to you through his word. Through the reading and preaching the word of God, we simply let the Bible speak to your heart. You will find that we also let the Bible speak in our live church webcasts on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Pacific time. If you cannot reach us through our website, letthebiblespeak.ca, then please call us toll-free, 1-800-969-1091. That's 1-800-969-1091. May the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus fill your heart today as we let the Bible speak and as you stay tuned with us for the message of God's Word today.
I had two Jehovah's Witnesses came to my door yesterday morning inviting me to a meeting Tuesday before Easter. They have a special celebration on that day. And I said, but we have a problem. You don't believe that Jesus is God. And I kept on that line. As long as you don't believe that he's the second person of the Trinity, the eternal God, that he existed before he was in Mary's womb, that he was the creator of the world, as long as you don't believe that, how can we ever even talk on other things? And I kept on that for a while until the conversation was over. And we're here today discussing the death of one who was supernatural. He was God in the flesh on that very cross. And so we can say that the death of Christ is, as John Owen put it, the death of deaths. It is the most vital death of all history. And upon this is the hope of every Christian, every believer, every soul that will ever be saved hangs upon the death of the Lord Jesus. And if we lose sight of the victory of Calvary, well, we lose everything. It's a total loss. I wonder today, is your sight upon the victory of Calvary? Let me ask you that now in your daily life. When you went to bed last night, did you thank God for the victory of Calvary? As you came along to church this morning, Did you rejoice that you were entering into another aspect of the victory of Calvary? That's what Christian living is. It's living in the light of all that was accomplished at the cross. Redemption accomplished. If that's not your hope, your strength, your daily focus, then you're not living a Christian life. You might be living a pure life, a religious life, but you're not living as a Christ one in the fullness of the death of the Lord Jesus. Now, the thing I want us to notice here today is that this word of our Lord, Father, forgive them, is really the love pouring out of the Savior's heart. If ever you doubted, ever you questioned, does Jesus love me? Here's the answer. Here's the complete display. In the hour when our Lord Jesus was at his weakest, when his suffering peaked, he prayed the prayer of forgiveness. And in this word of the cross, the Lord addressed man's deepest need, forgiveness. That's the greatest need. The operative word is forgive, not condemn. Our Lord Jesus said it. He came not into the world to condemn the world, but to seek and to save. And here he's demonstrating it in his hour of suffering. Father, forgive. What was wrong with men that they needed forgiveness? Well, these sinners around the cross, those who had been at Pilate's judgment hall that morning crying, crucify him, crucify him, and the scribes and the rulers who had been the motivators and the instigators of all this, and the Roman soldiers who had carried out orders and taken our Lord to Golgotha, nailed him to a cross, they all had the blood of the Lord Jesus on their hands. Every one of them. Everyone was guilty. Not everybody swung the hammer that drove the nail into the hand, but everyone was behind the cruel, unjust death of the Lord Jesus. And of all sins ever possible for man to commit, surely this is the greatest, to crucify, to murder the Son of God. Can that ever be forgiven? Can that ever be wiped away? Well, here it is. Our Lord Jesus crying out, Father, forgive them. They needed him, and they needed forgiveness, for they slew the Lord. They crucified him with shocking bitterness. The prejudice, the bitterness, the enmity, the war that was in the hearts of these people against the Lord Jesus is absolutely shocking. They didn't just shrug their shoulders and say, what do I care? No, they were adamant, determined. They were out of the very depths of depraved enmity. They were about to slay the Son of God. That came out, of course, in the various mockeries that were offered to them. And the soldiers were told, verse 37, saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. They offered vinegar. They mocked. They jeered. And the rulers, these Jewish religious ones, they were no better. They continued with all of these mockeries along the way. Oh, the bitterness against the Lord Jesus. Oh, the depths, the awful depths of the heart of men. They cried to him, he saved others, he cannot save himself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. There was no relief offered except mockery. There was no sympathy. There was no twinge of, hey, can this be right? They were all pressing, clamoring to put the Son of God to death. For all of this, the Savior still loved them. The Savior still prayed, Father, forgive. And it lets us see today that there is no one beyond the grace of God. What sins we may have committed, what wicked thoughts we may have perpetrated, but still we come under the forgiving grace, the very loving kindness, and the mercies of the Lord. Something else about these sinners that the Lord was praying for, they were blind to their sin. The Lord Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How could that be? You know, if you were any judge and you were called upon to judge the case of the death of Christ, are these people guilty? Did they know? Were they conscious and aware of what they were doing? Any earthly human judge would say, absolutely, put them away. They're murderers. And yet our Lord Jesus on the cross, he said, they know not what they do. He wasn't referring to their mental faculties. He was referring to their spiritual faculties. They did not recognize the hell that they were digging for themselves. And that's a fearful reality. There are men in this city, in this community, and perhaps in this meeting, and you're digging hell for yourself, and you're blind, spiritually blind. You are a Jerusalem sinner with all the privileges of the gospel. You have a Bible. You have people to talk to you about the gospel. You have heard sermon after sermon. You have heard the message of the gospel over and over and over. And yet you reject the Lord Jesus. And if you were in that crowd, and if I in my unconverted days was in that crowd, we would have gone along with that crowd and we would have been there shouting, crucify him, crucify him. That's the awful depravity, the awful blindness of the human heart. This is an unbelievable statement. Of course, our Lord Jesus said it, so I have to believe it. But it's beyond what is normal. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. They participated in the death of an innocent one. They had done so in mob-like illegal fashion. They trumped up charges. They acted rashly and feverishly, rushing him to the cross. And yet our Lord said, they know not what they do.
This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service, as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.